Calling upon the Lord in the Scriptures is first of all recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. And there we read, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." In Genesis 13 we read that when Abraham was at Bethel, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. However, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, it's after the death of Abel by the wicked Cain. I just want you to turn there a moment, Genesis chapter 4, just to see this first setting where men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, and look with me at verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God," said she, "have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, said on this, "The worshippers of God began to stir themselves, to do more in religion than they had done since the defection of Cain. There was a stirring among the people. Now men not only began to worship God in their closets and in their families, but also now in public assemblies. It was, as it were, a new beginning for them. They began with new zeal to seek the Lord afresh. And if we're all honest, and we must be, we're before God, there are times we need to start afresh. There are times we need to start to seek the Lord afresh." They had seen the effects of the fall of Adam. They had seen that sin had entered the world. The very name Enos there in verse number 26, it means mortal, frail, weak. They began to see this, verse 26, "then, and he called his name Enos." It means mortal. It means weak. And in light of that realization, that man was mortal, that man wasn't going to live forever, it says this, Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let me just digress one moment. Dear unsaved, you are not going to live forever. You must begin to call upon the name of the Lord. This realization has got to grip your heart. Your days are numbered. There's a step between you and death. The timing of that step is in God's hands. The taking of it is once and alone. Depending on what you do with Christ, it's either going to be a triumph or a travesty. You're not going to live forever. You're in your sin. You must begin to call upon the name of the Lord and seek Him for salvation. But here in Genesis chapter 4, there's an urgency. What any man's going to do for God, he must do it now. This urgency, Enos, it means mortal, it means frail. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Turning back to where we read this morning, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we read in verse number 9, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez's name means sorrowful. Again, another great reminder of the fall of man. Here again, we see the results of it. Look, read with me verse 9. "Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His name means sorrowful. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Remember what the Lord said to the woman there in Genesis 3 to Eve. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." And here in 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez is given a name that reminds him that he was brought forth by sorrow. A name that reminded him all his days that he was brought into this world, a fallen world. He was brought into this world, a sinful world. He knew he was mortal. He knew he wasn't going to live forever. But oh, Jabez, realizing that he'll die, he not only prepares for that, but realizing that if his days on earth are ever to tell for God, and believer, our days are meant to tell for God, then he realizes that there's something he needs. And if a church's days are detailed for God, there's something it needs. If a believer's days are detailed for God, there's something they need. Can I suggest to you that many of them are found in this prayer that Jabez prayed? Look at it with me in verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Could I suggest it would be a good idea to memorize this prayer? Engraft it into our prayer lives? Why do I say that? Because we want to be praying prayers that God answers. That little phrase at the very end of the prayer, "And God granted him that which he requested." Here is a prayer. It's the will of God for his people. It's the will of God for his people. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. Quite simply, a prayer that God answers. A prayer that God answers. The first thing I want to show you about this prayer is this. The thinking behind the prayer. So often when we go to prayer, we don't really think about where we're going. We don't really think about what we're going to say. But here's Jabez. Most commentators believe he's starting out in life on his own. He's grown up. The Spirit has led him. And the thinking behind the prayer is this. He realizes that if his days are detailed for God, then there are certain things that he needs. If he's to fulfill man's chief end, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, then there are certain things that he needs. And Jabez gets to prayer. He comes to the eternal throne. He comes to seek the face of God. And my friend, anything that Jabez prays in this prayer, as I've said at the outset, is absolutely essential to your and my Christian life. It's absolutely essential. The thinking behind the prayer, he's coming to the Lord. His days have to tell for God. He must have these blessings. But then look, I want to show you something else. The necessary blessings that he prayed for. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." That word bless there in verse number 10, it's the same word as is used concerning Noah over in Genesis chapter 9 when it said, "And God blessed Noah." It's used also of Abram in Genesis 12 when the Lord said to him, "I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee." It was used of Isaac in Genesis 26, where it said that Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Or Genesis 48, it was said of Joseph, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." This blessing that Jabez is praying for, he knows others have had it. He knows this blessing that he's seeking God for was the very blessing that had turned Jacob from being a supplanter and a schemer and a man that you couldn't trust into a man of God. This is the blessing that he's praying for. He's seeking it. It's a necessary blessing. He realizes he's starting out in life. His forefathers, they've had this blessing. They have proved God. But here's Jabez, and he knows he needs it. He knows he needs it. But friend, this blessing was also something else. It was a prayed blessing. Because look with me again at verse 10. And Jabez called. That's a verb. It's an action word. Jabez called on the God of Israel. He prayed it down. And you know, friend, when you think about that, it is a contradiction in terms. For any man or woman to say they would love to see revival, if they never pray for it. It's a contradiction in terms. This blessing that Jacob wanted was a prayed blessing. Or that Jabez wanted was a prayed blessing. He prayed it down. Jabez called. He gets before the Lord. And you know, when you think about it, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, Noah, these men that also received this blessing, Jabez knows they didn't wake up with it. And our forefathers didn't wake up with it either. Any man that knew blessing. Any man that knew the blessing of God upon his life, upon his ministry, he prayed it down. He sought the face of God. They were prayed blessings. But they were also particular blessings. Look with me again at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. He prays for the enlargement of his usefulness for God. What a prayer that is. Lord, take us further. Let's apply it here in Garva. Give us more people in that town. Give us more effectiveness in this area. Let Garva feel the effects of our prayer meetings. Let Garva evening service be full of sinners. And larger coasts. Well, we don't want to be in this straight place. Remember again the setting. Jabez is starting out in life. Larger coasts. Take us further. Bring more people into your church. A larger coast. But then he prays something else. That thine hand might be with me. That thine hand might be with me. What a prayer that is. If I was to leave this pulpit now, I'm not going to. But if I was to, and go down and set my hand on somebody in the congregation, I'd be standing right beside you. That's the thought. Jabez is saying, Lord, let thy hand be with me. I'm starting out in life. Lord, just be standing right with me. Let your hand be with me. Working with me. Controlling me. Guiding me. Lord, just be right there beside me. Guiding me. Controlling me. Defending me. Was that not what Paul had in Ephesus? When he spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, and he said, Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that the preaching of the gospel might be fully known. He had the Lord's hand with him, working with him. Think of the early disciples there in Mark's gospel. They went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them. Let your hand be with me, Lord. Lord, let your hand be with me, defending, controlling. Everything I'll say, I'll be under the control of God. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. Isaiah 41, verse number 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. I'll hold thy right hand. Was the Lord literally going to hold Isaiah's hand? No. What's he speaking about? The Lord's telling Isaiah, I'm going to guarantee you my presence. I'm going to be right with you, Isaiah. And Jabez, setting out in life, wants the enlargement of his coasts. He wants to be useful for God. He wants to know this blessing. And he says, Lord, let your hand be with me. Let me live in your presence. Let me live my life as if you were just here. Controlling me. Controlling me what I say. And you know the feeling of that believer, don't we? The tongue gets us into trouble. We handle situations badly. We don't want to be going just through the motions. We want the Lord with us. We want to live in his presence. You know, some of the greatest saints have known great failure in that area, just going through the motions. Just going through the motions of religion. We were looking at it this morning in the Bible class. The church in Ephesus. Their problem wasn't false doctrine. It wasn't false doctrine. The problem was heart religion. They were just going through the motions. It happened to Peter, didn't it? Luke 22. Turn to Luke 22 with me. Luke number 22. You know the setting. It's an unbelievable setting. They've just left the Lord's Supper. Christ's about to enter into Gethsemane. He's about to sweat great drops of blood. Calvary's casting its shadow over the Savior. He's entering into his passion. And Peter, of all people, he's just going through the motions. Look with me at verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. The Lord brings this word to Peter, and it has absolutely no effect on him. The Lord tells Peter, Simon, I am concerned about this. Satan's desire to sift you, I'm praying about it, and it never enters Peter's head that he might need to begin to pray. What was wrong with him? Well, I think the answer is found in verse 24. Verse 24 of Matthew 20, or Luke 22. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. It's unbelievable. They've just left the Lord's Supper. Christ has just instituted his ordinance. They're on their way to Gethsemane. The Savior's about to sweat great drops of blood. And the disciples are having a feud. They're wanting to know who's the greatest among them. Just going through the motions. Of course, they're about to find out that none of them is very great. They're all on the eve of their great failure. They're about to flee from the Lord, but don't we see it? Now we see what Jabez meant. Lord, let your hand be with me. I want to live in your presence. I don't want to just be going through the motions. Peter has just received a word from Christ here. It makes absolutely no effect on him. Look at verse 33. How do we know that? And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready. No, Peter, no, you're not ready. No, you're not ready. And history proves he wasn't ready. He was just going through the motions. And Jabez here setting out in life, Lord, let your hand be with me, working with me, controlling me, guarding me, protecting me, helping me. Lord, I want my days to tell for God. Dear believer, is that your desire for yourself? Is it your desire for the work in Garva? Lord, let your hand be in this work. Because, friend, that is suffice. If the Lord's hand's with you, it's all you need. That protects. That guides. That controls. That leads. That does everything. Let your hand be with me. Enlarge my course. Then take me into those experiences with your hand with me. Guiding me. Leading me. Control on me. What a prayer it is. What a prayer it is. But then he says something else. Going back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He says this. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. Jabez was a wise man. Because he realizes he's just a man. He realizes that he's very capable of losing blessing. Of grieving his own soul. Of grieving the Lord. And causing him to withdraw. Causing him to withdraw and be grieved. Remember what Paul said to Ephesus? Grieve not the Holy Ghost. As he said, if the church in Thessalonica, quench not the Spirit. Lord, keep your hand upon me. Enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez doesn't want to lose it all. He doesn't want to lose ground. He doesn't want to grieve the Lord. He doesn't want to lose out with God. And I'll just throw this out, dear believer. Could there be one here this morning and you've lost out? You've grieved the Lord. I look across the congregation and I don't know you. But the Lord knows you've grieved Him. There's something in your life. You'll be aware of it. Nobody else will probably be aware of it, but you'll be aware of it. and you've grieved them, and you've lost out with them. Would this not be a good time, beginning of 2012, to put it right, deal with it, get it set aside, realizing that your days are meant to tell for God, realizing that it's God's will to bless you, and yet this is hindering you. It's hindering your progress. It's hindering you going on with God. You've lost your joy. You've lost it all. The devil's robbed you. That's what has happened. Let your hand be upon me. Let your hand be upon me. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. What a prayer. That's why we need to incorporate such praying into our prayer lives. Remember what the Lord taught us, disciples there, and it was called the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. It's the same thing. Keep me from evil. Keep me from grieving thee. Keep me from grieving the Lord. It was necessary blessing. It was also particular blessing. But it was also personal. Look again with me at the beginning of the prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." You see, it's never wrong. In fact, we all need to do it. It's never wrong to pray every morning before you go out, "Lord, bless me today. Make me a blessing today." This is a personal blessing. That's what he's looking for. He realizes that Abraham's blessing was Abraham's, Jacob's was his. And Jabez realizing that, here he is, and he says, "Lord, bless me. Let me know this blessing." It's not being presumption, it's not being forward. It's coming with that confidence to the throne of grace. How do we know that? Because the very last line of the prayer, God grants him it. God grants him that which he requested. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And certainly, yes, pray for others. But Lord, bless me. It was a personal blessing. But it was also a present blessing. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." Jabez needed it, and he needed it now. He's starting out. He needs this blessing. And let me say this. We need present blessing. Our country needs present blessing. I could put it like this. We thank God for every remembrance of the 1859 revival. But dear believer, it's gone. And so is the country that it happened in. And so are the people that received it. They're in heaven. They've received the crown that fadeth not away. And this country is absolutely nothing like it was in 1860 after that revival. It's present blessing needed. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." But here's the challenge. That generation of God's people in 1859 prayed it down and saw their country transformed. And they're in heaven. Jabez looked back. Look who he had to follow. Abraham, the friend of God. Isaac, Jacob, Noah, giants in the faith. And Jabez says, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Give me the blessing of our forefathers. Give me the same blessing they received." See, he has it worked out. Abram didn't wake up in the tent one morning with blessing. Jacob didn't wake up with it either. He wrestled all night. I will not let you go until you bless me. You know, dear believer, that is so easy to say. That is so hard to do. I will not let you go until you bless me, but it needs to come before 10 o'clock. And if it doesn't, I'll let you go. Jacob wasn't getting up until he got it. But he got it. It was personal blessing. Oh, thou bless me indeed. It's present blessing. We need it now. So they were prayed for, they were particular, they were personal, they were present. But what about the answer to the prayer, very quickly? And God granted them that which he requested. What a statement. We see the glorious truth here that when God is going to bless his people, he sets them to pray. God is a God of order. He works by means. When he's going to bless, he burdens his people. He sets them to pray. He sets them to seek the face of God. You see, it was God's will to bless Jabez. And it's God's will to bless us. That's why we have a book full of invitations. Call on to me, and I'll answer you, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, that's why the devil resists in prayer. He knows it's God's will to bless his people. If you ever want to look at a lamentation of the devil in the Bible, turn to Job 1. It can be described as nothing else. It's a lamentation. Job laments it. He laments what God has done. Job number 1, verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. There is a lamentation of the devil. He can't do anything about it. Lord, you've done it. You've blessed that man. I tried to get at him, but I couldn't get at him. There was a hedge round him. You blessed the works of his hands. Do you believe that's what we need? Need the blessing of God. It was God's will to bless Job. It was God's will to bless Jabez. It was God's will to bless Jacob, to bless Abraham, to bless Isaac. It was God's will, the answer to the prayer. But it was also God's will to grant blessing, because every blessing we need, Christ has purchased them. All we need to live for God, to see the work of God go forward, is purchased by the blood of Christ. It's ours. But we've got to avail ourselves of them. Let me give you an example. You get in any Garva, bad example, but an example. You get in any Garva, and you want to shop for your wife, or for your husband, or for your children, and you reach the money across the counter, and you say, that's for that, that, and that. There's the money. I'm paying for it. Such and such is coming in to lift it. I don't know when they're coming, but they'll be in to lift. When the person goes in to lift them, the retailer is duty-bound to give it. If they don't go in and lift it, it'll sit there. Well, all that we need to live for God has been purchased by the blood of our Lord. All the blessings are ours by covenant. They're ours by blood. Because God is a living God, he can hear us. Because he's a loving God, he will hear us. Because he's a God in covenant, he has bound himself to hear us. And all we need is ours by covenant and ours by blood. But dear believer, don't you see it? We've got to heal ourselves. We've got to receive them. They're there. We can be as close to God as we want to be. We can pray as long as we want to, as often as we want to. While we work, we can keep that communion up. God's willing for it. That we might receive these blessings. They were purchased blessings. They were promised blessings. But finally, it was God's will to grant unto this prayer that Jabez would fulfill God's purpose for his life. That you can either take that singularly or you can take it as a congregation. God's will is to bless you personally and collectively. Because God is far more concerned about your Christian life and about the work in Garva than you are. God had a purpose for Jabez. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for this work in Garva. But we've got to pray. We've got to seek the Lord's face. You see, Jabez didn't pray that when he received it, he would look good. God doesn't answer that prayer. God does not answer a prayer that we might look good. He answers our prayer that we might do good and be good. God will not answer prayer to make us look good. James tells us God does not answer prayer that we can simply on our lusts. God's blessing is that we might do good. Is that we might be good. That's why he blesses. That's why he blesses us. The same word, if you look with me at verse 9 there again of 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez was more honorable. That word honorable was used over in 2 Samuel. It was used of a man called Benaiah. He was an honorable man. He was a servant of the king. Everything he did in life was for his king. Everything he lived for was to please his king. He was an honorable man. And can I suggest to you, that's what Jabez was praying for. Everything he would do before his king, before his Lord, to honor him, to glorify him. That's his desire. To see the purpose of God go forward. And my dear friend, if that's your desire, to see the work blessed, you blessed, sinners gathered in, Christ exalted, the kingdom of God and of grace extended, God will answer that prayer. That's the terms. He'll not answer it that you might look good. He'll answer it that we might do good. That we might be good. That God might be glorified. God granted him that prayer that he requested. What a statement. God granted him that which he requested. Dear people, not to pray will be disastrous. Peter showed it in Luke 22. I'm ready. Oh, Peter, if you had only had a time of prayer. If you'd only seen the warning signs. Satan had desired to sift. But Peter's mind was in other matters. He was caught up in that. But Peter soon learned that the work of God couldn't go forward in the flesh. And what a man of God he turned out to be. The Lord dried up his tears. God filled him. Used him. Set that man ablaze for himself and used him for the glory of God. What do we do with such a word like this? Surely we've all got to take it home. I include preacher. I'm not preaching to others and not myself. And cry, O Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Let your hand be upon me. Keep me from evil that it won't grieve thee. God request, or God grant that which I request. But let me close as I started. To you in this meeting, who are not saved, it's still time to call upon God. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't know you.
I don't even know who's saved in this meeting and who's not. Well, I know some people are saved, but I don't know who's not saved. I'm a stranger. But God knows. Come now, he says. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they are, they'll be white as wool. They'll be white as snow. Sinner, you must come. Go to repent, believe the gospel. Seek Christ today. Call upon him now. May God give you grace to come. Even now. Even now as we bow our heads in prayer. Let's all unite our hearts in prayer. You just lift your heart heavenward. Ask the Lord to save you. Call upon him. He'll do it now. If you would like help, and I know this is a morning service, but if you would like help, it would be our joy. Speak to me or some of the elders after the meeting. The joy to sit down with you. Point you to God's Lamb. Point you to Christ. The one who can save you today and bless you forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, take thy word. Take all that's been of thee. Bless it to every heart. Take all that's been of man, let it fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But oh, let thy word, thy truth, live and abide in every soul. And hear prayer and continue with us now in our public worship. In Jesus' name, amen.